This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I left my office the other day for another part of Marketplace's still mostly empty headquarters to do an interview.
Okay, so wait. So here we are. We're in a conference room. There's somebody very cleverly put the Marketplace website up on the big screen on the wall.
Pretty standard. Big long table, chairs all around. Except
if you move close enough to it, there you go.
And I just transfigured through the door, through the wall.
This room isn't real. I've entered it using a virtual reality headset. It's a big white pair of electronic goggles that tracks my head and my hands and my body as I move around. And when I lift my hands up in the real world, I can see a sort of pixelated, animated version of them in this simulated world. I can turn 360 degrees and look all the way around. It's kind of like being inside a video game, right? Instead of watching it on a screen.
All right, what's that little laser pointer thing in my vision? Am I like going to snipe at you or something?
I know that you can't see what I'm seeing on the inside of these goggles, but I'm going to do my best to explain it to you because some of the biggest companies in the world are pouring billions of dollars into this thing called the metaverse. And you have almost certainly heard that term by now, right? When Facebook did its big rebrand to Meta back in October, Mark Zuckerberg laid out his vision for the next chapter of the internet in which we would work and socialize and live much of our lives in a three-dimensional digital environment like the one I'm in.
There
how
you go.
How many people does it take to get Kai into VR? All right.
Wow. Rami Rattan is there with me. He's an associate professor at Michigan State University's Media and Information Department. And I can see his oddly proportioned digital avatar's mouth moving as he talks, and he can see my avatar as well. It's actually got a picture of my real face plastered on its head, which is disturbing.
If you use your left joystick, you can walk.
Really? Like without
walking? Lucky for me, Robbie's a regular here. He's been studying digital worlds for about 20 years, and he teaches a college course in virtual reality using the same software and equipment that we're using now.
Use your left joystick.
What do I do?
Yes, please don't walk. You might hit a real thing.
In the real world, I'm on a maybe 6-foot by 10-foot patch of carpet in Marketplace's world headquarters here in Los Angeles. Robbie's at his lab in Michigan, but in the virtual world, he's just across the room.
Small movements. You don't want to vomit.
So that's like going to be a thing because last time
the headsets, the goggles are made by Meta, the parent company of Facebook. We bought the ones I'm wearing for $299.
Better than it used to be.
All right. Let me get back to setting the scene here because not everybody can see what I'm seeing and this is much less fun for them to hear on the radio. But we're in a conference room. Everybody's got a laptop computer. And we could, if it was you and me and 10 of our colleagues, we could have a legit meeting in here.
We could.
This digitally rendered conference room is made by yet another company, not Facebook, called Engage, which advertises itself as a, quote, metaverse platform for immersive meetings and virtual events.
Is Engage. It is a piece of the metaverse in a way. One day we'll be able to just easily jump between these virtual platforms. Right now, you kind of have to install it like an app on your phone.
I think this is an uninformed question. How many metaverses are there?
I would say there are zero at this moment. It's kind of like the question of how many internets are there. And in the year 1988, there were zero.
Right.
Maybe by 92, you would say, okay, there's some internets. So this is like a little oasis in the three-dimensional internet right here. This is one of many.
Today on apps like this, you can go to live concerts, play card games with strangers from around the world, or browse art galleries and museums.
We could draw on the whiteboard over here, which is a
two-dimensional
whiteboard.
How do I do that?
Just walk over and...
This is so funny because you said...
Yeah, that whiteboard thing was harder than it sounded. I couldn't figure out how to pick up the marker.
Show up in front of you. Do you see that?
No.
And then I couldn't figure out how to put it down.
I've still got the damn dry erase marker in my hand. Sorry.
Meanwhile, Robbie was just making stuff out of thin air.
And I can have some pretend people join us.
That's
here.
Freaking.
We can have a big T-Rex eating this man here. So what's the point of this? Well, I often will have my students or through a meeting spawn digital objects, virtual objects like this, and we bring them up as a piece of our discussion. You know, for example, if it's an architecture-related class, we could bring up buildings and people could bring things in that they design. We can look at them from different angles, etc., using the medium to our advantage. Go ahead.
Well, you know what's really interesting, and this is a little abstract, but you ever seen guys flying drones, right? You see those guys flying drones? And they're like, wow, yeah, man, that's like an extension mm-hmm. of their arm. And you know, I try to fly a drone and I, of course, crash it. That's exactly what's happening here, right? I have no idea what I'm doing. And you, as an experienced person in the metaverse, are just zipping around and creating things and this and that. So the learning curve with this, all of which is to say, is not small.
I would beg to differ. You've only been in here a couple of minutes. I bet, Kai, we could have you ready to teach people how to use it within 20 minutes of training.
I'm a reasonably competent guy, and I couldn't figure out how to pick up a dry erase marker.
You got to navigate. Right. You got to navigate. It takes a little bit. Once you get it, though, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to take us over to an expo hall.
Okay.
Our audio is going to be cut out for just a moment as we transport.
Everything faded to black for a second. It was kind of weird, actually. And then...
All right. So this is great. A much bigger space.
So it is much bigger.
Remember, in the real world, I didn't move. I was still in that same small corner of Marketplace's offices. But in just a couple of seconds, Robbie had transported us to what felt like a big exposition hall with a stage on one end and booths up and down the sides.
So this is actually one of my favorite places to hold class.
Okay.
Because I will have students set up in different booths and put together a small presentation. And then as a class, we move around and hear them present. But you could also imagine this for business meetings, sure. Of course, for conferences, for any type of event, convention. And yeah, do you want me to teach you how to make an object appear?
He did. And with a couple of clicks, I created a helicopter.
Downloading update. Not only is it a helicopter, it's a life-size helicopter with the rotors turning. What more can the business world want?
One reason that companies are investing billions into the metaverse right now is because of the potential for digital objects like this one.
I could, as you can tell, very easily create a helicopter for you to see and fabricate these pieces of equipment based on custom orders, and then you could sell it to them in Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever.
Well, let's not go there, right? That's for Kai Goes to the Metaverse section 15, I think.
Between hardware and software and events and advertising opportunities, Bloomberg Intelligence figures the metaverse could be an $800 billion market someday soon. But right now, it's just hard to take digital objects from place to place. It's still a lot of individual virtual worlds.
Yeah, but we could talk virtual. Yeah, what else do you want to experience? Should we go to another space?
Let's go to another space, just for the heck of it.
Sure. You're not afraid of water, are you?
No, I guess we're going to find out.
Oh, we are not done with the metaverse. More straight ahead. We return now to one tiny part of the yet-to-be-fully-realized thing called the metaverse. I got there using a clunky pair of electronic goggles made by Meta, of course, the parent company of Facebook.
Okay, so the main thing they have to do, whether it's Zuckerberg and Oculus or I don't care who, they have to weigh less than 15 pounds and not give you a headache in 20 minutes.
You can loosen the straps.
Well, I also have an
that might be part of the problem.
So that's neither here nor there.
Physically, I'm at Marketplace's world headquarters in Los Angeles, but my three-dimensional, somewhat cartoony-looking avatar with a real picture of my face on it, by the way, is somewhere else.
We're underwater. We're like
we are
in a trench here. Actually, not that deep, but...
I'm standing on what looks like the ocean floor next to another digital avatar representing Robbie Rattan. He's an associate professor in the Media and Information Department at Michigan State. And we're surrounded by a calming blue. There are rolling waves on the simulated surface way up above, a kind of pixelated seashell-laden floor at my feet, and the occasional fish swimming by.
I love teaching class in here. It's surreal, and my students say they remember more when we change locations.
Oh, I buy that. Yeah.
They'll say like, oh yeah, we talked about the concept of avatar identities influencing user behaviors, you know, in the ocean. And I will associate those two things, and that's how they're able to recall
back,
it more
back
easily
up for
later.
A minute, because there's a whole layer of this that we haven't touched on, which is that, yes, business and finance and econ and buying helicopters – but we are fundamentally representing, and I'll keep it in the marketplace gist, right? We're fundamentally representing consumers artificially. And how we represent here, I imagine, changes how we behave here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's this phenomenon called the Proteus effect, which is one of the main theories that I've studied as a media researcher. And it's the notion that when you use an avatar that has certain characteristics, it influences your behavior. If you use a taller avatar, you'll negotiate more aggressively. If you use an avatar that's more attractive, you'll have more social confidence. You'll stand closer to people. My favorite one is if you use an avatar that looks like an inventor compared to a street clothes avatar, you'll actually come up with more creative ideas during brainstorming.
Seriously?
Yep, yep. But that one's been replicated a few times. I ran a meta-analysis of about 50 studies.
But I can't even see myself.
In this environment, there aren't many reminders of who you are. A lot of these studies do include a virtual mirror where you can see yourself. You know, like if I stood here and said, hey, Kai, let's take a selfie. Here you're.
Yeah, that selfie thing didn't really work.
Did you see that? Oh, you
I can't see it, huh?
He tried recording a video of us instead.
Let's do the wave or something.
And a three-dimensional recording of our virtual reality selves popped into view.
All right, so first of all, I've got no arms.
Whatever. That's a problem.
So you can see yourself.
Despite the technical glitches and the fact that my forehead was killing me from wearing that headset, I will admit that talking to Robbie's digital avatar in this virtual world was kind of similar to doing an interview in person.
Not like I'm down in some abyss with freaking killer whales or something. All right, there we go. Do you think the challenge is technology or is the challenge scale in getting wider adoption?
Generally, when we're looking at mass media historically, the technology is the scale issue, right? And media's media economies of scale are essential. So we need to be able to standardize across the different technologies in order to produce at a low enough cost.
So that everybody can pay $300. It's got to be less than $300 for one of these headsets, right? Because the barrier to entry, even though $300 is not a lot of money for some, it's not a doable amount of money.
Exactly. We need these things to get cheaper, and we also need them to be less of a walled garden. You know, if you have to buy one radio to listen to Marketplace and another radio to listen to another show, that doesn't work. So platforms like Engage and Ready Player Me, which is an avatar creation platform, they're doing a great job of trying to make themselves interoperable using standards that work across different technologies, like a JPEG file.
You know, you mentioned Ready Player Me, which of course makes me think of Ready Player One, which was just a great movie, which I really liked. That's the future, right? That's where we're going?
Hopefully not the dystopian end of humanity side of it.
Not the bad guy part.
The technology, many, many pieces of that vision for the future are likely to be true.
Robbie, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
As Robbie and I talked about, this is just one tiny part of the thing that people call the metaverse. The interconnected digital world is still, well, under construction. But companies are buying digital land and selling digital clothes and trying to build stuff in the metaverse that honestly, I don't quite understand yet. So in a couple of months, maybe we'll have Robbie on again to explore another part of it.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
Kai. I would shake hands, except I can't figure out how to do it. That's a little weird.
Shake
Of course, this is one of those things you're going to want to see. We've got a video on our Twitter feed. We are at Marketplace. Check it out.